After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Krejci across the line now for Charlie Coyle. Coyle of the Bruins back of the net. Coyle tries to center. Marchand! Big save, rebound, scores!
Lather, rinse, repeat. The tough times continue in Leafland. Bruins 4, Leafs 2 from Scotiabank Arena, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you to break it all down at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter. Sam McKee, Andrew Holland, thanks for your efforts behind the scenes as well. And so now after the 5-game point streak, Gord, Toronto is now winless in 4, 0-3-1, and again, a lot of what we've seen the last little while, a lot of strong points in the game, but a lot of letdowns as well.
Yeah, you're a guy that's big on social media, younger guy, very good at it.
Thank you.
And you do a lot of GIFs, right? That's the cool phrase.
The Anthony Stewart.
Yeah.
Is it GIF or is it GIF? Who knows?
I don't know. Anyway, you Leafs give a lot of GIFs away.
The young guys
do that. I mean, that's really the problem right now. And again, keep in context, the St. Louis Blues were dead last in the NHL last year on January 3rd. So if you get your bleep together and you get it together right, then that's the right way to go about it as you head into the playoffs and have that better run that we hope the Toronto Maple Leafs will have. But right now, they're sort of sliding into that St. Louis Blues territory from last season. And here we've got, again, positives to talk about. But as you talk about lather, rinse, repeat, whatever, the score is no good. That's not, you know, the score is no good at the end. You lost the game. You're tied 1-1 after two periods of play. You got some momentum. You're playing the Bruins well. And you give up a putrid goal like that in the first seconds to Brad Marchand, of all people. And it's a guy I love. I love Morgan Riley. You know, whatever. The D, him and Cody CC back in. I love Freddie Anderson. It's a weak goal. It's a killer goal. It changes momentum. And then you tie it again. And then the old thing. What is it? Repeat, rinse, whatever. I wash my hair a lot. I got great hair.
There you go.
Anyway,
you do, actually. Great haircut, too.
And anyway, same thing. So that's the part. I don't even want to call it perplexing. It's what's going on. It is, though.
Like, we're at a point where this is happening quite frequently, and that's
Really inexcusable. For a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs, so it's beyond perplexing. Yeah. It's getting to the point where it's inexcusable about that. Again, they're not dead last like the Blues were on January 3rd. It's not January 3rd, but you're trending in the wrong direction right now at the quarter point pool.
The problematic thing to me is it's the same cast of characters who continue to have the giveaways. And it's the big guys on this team. Like, Morgan Riley forgot how to play defense. And I'm talking defense. Like, offensively, he's still trying to do his thing. But he's running into big-time issues in his own zone. Jake Muzzin, I think we can both agree, has probably been their top defenseman in the last little while. At times, you wonder if he's ever played hockey. Like, we're at that point. Tyson Barrie, William Nylander, for how hot he's been as a player, 12 points in the last 12 games. It seems like he's good for a neutral zone giveaway every game that leads to a breakaway. Tonight it was Sean Corrali, luckily put it wide. But these are mistakes, again, as you mentioned, for teams that we think are going to be legitimate playoff teams, not just making the playoffs, Gord, but going far in the playoffs, we think. You can't be making this many mistakes game 5, game 7, game 20, game 25, game 65, for that matter.
Yeah, and again, I go back the last couple of years, and we'll think bigger of this game. We'll think bigger than this game, that the last 2 years, the Leafs had great starts. So it didn't have it this year. And we think of 2 years ago when Joel Quenneville, of all people, sort of anointed them the next Chicago Blackhawks, potentially, and we got excited. They had the great start. Then they would have a bit of a lull in the middle. And Mike Babcock would keep stressing, yes, but we've got to learn to play the right way. And we're going, oh, yeah, but we like them better the first 20 games. That was fun. But we understand, got to play the right way. And the record quite wasn't as good and whatever. And at the end of the year, we believe there was improvement and reason for optimism moving upward and onward. So this year, they didn't start the season that way. They're playing like they did the middle. And he talked about that Picasso still, that 3-1 win over the Los Angeles Kings, which defies me because that's not the Toronto Maple Leaf team. That's Roger Nielsen's old team. That's a team like the Vegas Golden Knights. That's a team that's in the bottom third. That's the part you stress. It's the other things that got to get going. And then what Mike Babcock was loving about that 3-1 against Los Angeles has evaporated because they're making these horrid, horrid miscues.
Whether you're a numbers nerd or not, this is a league driven by numbers scored. And when you're chasing the game, it's going to be hard to win said game. That's now 16.
Sound like you're in court when you say win said game, just so you know.
Sounds like what?
You're in court.
I am in
like
court.
Like a lawyer.
Like I feel like I'm in court watching this Leafs team.
It's good. You know.
16 of 22 games now, they've surrendered the first goal. Like, this has to change. Right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, repeat rinse again. 2 weeks ago, we're sitting here saying the same
thing.
It's
crazy, though. Like, yeah. Every game you come out and they're like, hey, this is going to be the night. They start hot. They score the first couple goals. Get, you know, good times in Toronto. And then you watch this one. Jason Spezza must have like 7 opportunities this year where he muffs it. I thought overall he was pretty decent in this game, but he muffed an empty net. And the Bruins come the other way and they make you pay for it. That's what good teams do. The Maple Leafs have done that in the past. Not so much right now, but they make it 1-0. And just like that, you're up against it. And you have to think up and down that bench. You're saying, here we go again, no?
Well, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. I think as fans, they're starting to think that. As players, you shouldn't. But you're right. There's a whole different thing to being the chaser or the chasee. So, but if you're a good NHL team and one of the top third, which the Toronto Maple Leafs still believe are, but yeah, it seems like it is. But then they come back every time. So they actually do get themselves back in the game. They did do it again. And then they find some other way. And unfortunately, you know, we talked about the St. Louis. There's a couple of games. The St. Louis game, there's a Washington game that were really excellent games. 1-goal losses for the Maple Leafs and, you know, great 60-minute hockey games. And now instead, they're just finding a situation how to blow it. And before, Nick, it was about injuries. And I kept thinking, well, the injuries aren't all that bad. Okay, we know Travis Hyman was out, then Tavares went. Well, all of a sudden now, Mitch Marner last week, Alexander Kerfoot, I can't believe the guy played. Guy played 4 games with his injury suffered in that L.A. game. And then you got, and then Trevor Moore only plays under 2 minutes. He gets hurt tonight's game. So now you want injuries. All of a sudden, you get injuries like a lot of other teams have, and the good teams, though, overcome it. The Maple Leafs talked about injuries earlier in the year. They haven't seen nothing yet compared to this past week.
I think at the best of times, to add to that point, Mike Babcock's sort of victim of overcoaching. Like, you can comprehend how Austin Matthews played under 20 minutes in this game, 1954, because they have a game coming up in Pittsburgh against a team, mind you, and the Penguins also playing tonight.
Well, better save them, yeah.
But
they've had days off. They've had 2 games in 5 days. His line was the best line out there. He was kicking ass. He should have played 37 minutes tonight. Should have played what Bo Horvat played in Vancouver the other night, 27 minutes.
And that's what I'm getting at. And again, we're not going to make this a brigade about Mike Babcock. Should he or should he not be the head coach of this Maple Leafs team? I'm sure we're going to have plenty of that conversation over the next month. It's just more so the obvious isn't happening. When you lose a guy automatically, somebody needs to step up. In the second period, there are a couple, you know, opportunities where they did double shift Austin Matthews. But the way he was skating in this game, the way Nylander was skating in this game, to a point, Andreas Johnsson, like especially Matthews, you got to find a way to put him 22, 23 minutes a night, at least in this one.
And I think an important point is, and I can speak for yourself, obviously, yeah. But no way are we advocating a coaching change. So, because people start talking about that, because talking about that being anywhere close.
No.
But just talking about concerns. And it's a collective thing. Mike Babcock has been the Teflon coach for a number of years, and rightly so initially. The franchise riding it out for 1 year, and then the young guys, and they've developed quite well. So I don't know who deserves more credit versus other credit, but whatever. They've developed quite well from within, so I'll give credit. I see now... our good friend Damian Cox now throwing the question, did Kyle Dubas get the job too quick over Lou Lamoriello? I've always maintained that, and it's not a shot at Kyle Dubas at all. I always thought that Lou should have gone one more year for a number of reasons, had those pressures of doing the contracts, and Kyle could have come in cleaner. But that's water under the bridge, okay? And it's great that Lamoriello landed on Long Island, and they're kicking butt, and maybe that's what's bringing up some of those kinds of questions out there. So I'm not advocating any of those things. They got to figure it out, all of them. They got to figure it out. They got to be better. And they know that.
I was just going to say, like, sometimes to me, you got to throw those numbers out the window and just play your best guys. Like, I don't care if Toronto plays tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. I get it. The back-to-back.
I'm with you on the criticism. Like, I'm with you on the criticism of Babcock about that. Yeah, absolutely.
No, and I agree. Like, it's just so obvious to me as just somebody watching this team. When you see a guy going, and never mind what you pay these guys, like Marner and Tavares and Matthews, just throw him a bone. And that's been my big time issue. And we can die on that hill of talk about Austin Matthews, how he didn't play more in last year's Stanley Cup playoffs. But sometimes just throw the book out the window and say, go after it. Because in the second period, that line was dancing again. And that was one of my positive points in this game. Again, was the play of the Matthews line. And now they're stringing something together. That's 12 points in the last 12 games from William Nylander. Remains to be seen what they do in the next couple hours or so. Of course, as you mentioned, Trevor Moore leaving this game early on with a shoulder issue, did not return. You would think somebody's going to be recalled to play in Pittsburgh, or at least be in contention to play in Pittsburgh on Saturday night. A harmless play, by the way, colliding with Chris Wagner. I don't think either player, knew the hit was coming, but obviously Chris Wagner is very steady. He could be short in stature, but is still a heavy-type player, and it caught Moore in the right spot, I guess.
Yeah, and you see that a lot with injuries, don't you? I mean, look at Mitch Marner, the innocent of plays away from it as well, and sometimes the bigger, although Rantanen, and same with Rantanen, you know, just something like that, just skating alone and what happened. So, yeah, I mean, we'll find out more, but obviously he won't be going to Pittsburgh.
Hear that sound effect?
Yes.
I go to my notebook again. Your special teams update, Gord Stellick. The Maple Leafs on the power play. Gord's got his pen in hand. I don't know what he's writing.
I'm writing something. It'll be good.
0 for 2, the Maple Leafs on the power play. Now 5 for 45. Has anything changed on said power play unit? In court again. No. Same old same in this game from the power play, where I sort of thought it was a buzzkill for the Maple Leafs. Would you agree?
Oh, momentum kill, like, buzzkill, everything. And then when they pulled the goaltender at the end, they couldn't get the puck out of their bloody zone. You know, just those types of things. And the other night, same thing you heard at the end when they actually came back and made it close. And you heard Joe Bowen, Jim Ralph imploring in the last minute to get a shot on net when they had the puck. Instead, you know, it's just baffling, those kinds of things. I mean, they should be coming at them with a force. Power play's terrible. And then just at the end of the game, pull the goaltender, and they don't get anything going before Zdeno Chara puts it in. Boston almost had three chances.
Is Boston in their head? Is that a fair question to ask after how many games they played over against Boston in the last six, seven years and lost big games to them? Are they in their heads?
I would say no, they weren't, but now I'm wondering.
Because they always seem to lose to them. I'm sorry to say, like, I'm not even using the word we. Like, the Leafs have played some strong games against Boston, and I don't know about you, but even when they play strong, they still lose to them.
Well, they, you know, believe it or not, before last season, they actually had a real good regular season record against the Boston Bruins.
They did.
And every one of those playoffs, they didn't get smoked in four. They've had three playoff series, and it's been 4-3. So they were playing the Bruins pretty well. That's a little bit what has annoyed me this year is after 20 games right now, there is a bigger chasm with the Washington Capitals and Boston Bruins, which are put Tampa Bay in a different category, but the other two have been the elite the last 2 years by their playoff successes, making it to the final, one of them winning the Stanley Cup. And it just seems there's more of a gap now between them and the Toronto Maple Leafs after the first quarter mark of this regular season, where the thinking would be that gap would be closing. And again, the end of the year will be what determines if this gap is important when it's closed or not.
You're getting it. And again, I think it's right to preface as well. Like, I understand these are pressing times in Leafs land. They're winless in four. Mitch Marner's on this lineup. The injuries starting to pile up. Alex Kerfoot, Trevor Moore. But again, like, there's only 22 games into this season, right? There's a lot of racetrack left. I think ultimately what we want to see, and again, we have picked apart, I should say, some positives in the last couple games, even dating back to that loss in Chicago on Sunday night. But eventually results will be important, right? Because as you've referenced time and time again, and rightfully so, St. Louis didn't get their act together till the second half. But especially in this division, the way some teams are playing, Montreal wins again tonight. The Lightning have, 26 goals in the last five games. They're coming. Buffalo's struggling a bit, but we think they're a better team. Ottawa's giving, you know, their opponents, you know, run for their money on an elite basis. You know what you're going to get out of Detroit. The list goes on of foes in the Atlantic Division. You don't want to get caught way too far behind, right?
No, and that's why what Tampa Bay's doing now, you're saying, okay, isn't it time for the Leafs to make a little bit
exactly
of that push? And sorry, just because you do all kinds of things. So my little math here, I'm going to round it off, but it's nothing new, but what's frustrating is the top four players' salaries on the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins. And I don't include goaltenders, so that's a little bit of an anomaly because Tuukka Rask makes about $7 million, Freddie makes about $5 million. But the top four in Toronto are Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, William Nylander. About $40 million in salary for them. Top four salaries, believe it or not, David Krejci's number one. Patrice Bergeron, and then David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand, about $27 million. So now they were signed years ago, so there's the market really changed rather dramatically with the Leafs players becoming elite restricted free agents, but you're talking $13 million difference in salaries. Those top four Boston players, Krejci, Bergeron, Pastrnak, and Marchand, making about $27 million per season combined, and the Leafs top four making about $40 million, eating up that kind of cap room. So that's also what's frustrating out there. The Bruins have more wiggle room. They got wiggle room for a Charlie Coyle to come last year and be added. The Leafs got nothing. They ain't got wiggle, never mind a room.
Where they pick it up this year. You're right. Like at the trade, don't, if you're sitting in your car driving home right now or on your walk, a long walk to the subway.
Yeah, hopefully you're not standing on your car, but if you're sitting in your car, yes.
Yes. That would be important to drive. Like there's no help coming, no new artillery coming at the trade deadline. Like they're going to be in trouble to try and get some help, whatever they think is a need, a defenseman, a depth forward. Like it's going to be difficult to finagle out of this.
Yeah. But, you look at the Leaf lineup on paper, and I like that lineup. I like that lineup. So maybe you can't add that guy, whatever. And keep in mind the Bruins, like, you know, Wayne Simmonds didn't do it for Nashville last year. Like the Bruins were a team that maybe added the best, Johansson too, and that like added the best two little add-ons that way, trade deadline wise. But I just, anyway, so the Leafs don't have it. So again, that's spilt milk. Just they have to get more out of these guys. And now the injury bug with two more guys going down, that's another challenge, but you know that you're pretty healthy for a big chunk of this 20 games, so you really can't complain about injuries.
And honestly, I think this Leafs team, Gord, can learn a lot from the Boston Bruins, which I'm sure they have, but we haven't seen the results just yet. Like the way that top line conducts themselves on the ice, because I have to say that, because Brad Marchand, who kept his antics to a minimum, by the way, in this game, it scores two goals. How you leave number 63 wide open, a couple chances. Like it was unbelievable. It was mystifying watching with you. Just it was like the parting of the Red Sea for Brad Marchand, one of the top players on the ice in the game. But again, it goes back to the giveaways and just sort of the defensive zone responsibilities for this
team. Because
you
worked so hard as the Leafs and you played so well tonight. And that's what you cough it up on?
Little gaffes in play that have really...
Well, little. You're being nice.
You're
big,
welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, I like this. This would be a fun ride in the subway going...
It would.
You know, once my brother and I, years ago, my brother Bob and I think I was 12 and he was 10. And I don't know what it would be. And we were taking the subway back. And I was really pissed off after a Leaf game. And we would go to Shepherd Station and take the Shepherd bus and get off at Leslie at home. And then he got annoyed that I was mad. And we got like an argument. And all of a sudden at Davisville Station, he just bolted out.
No way. Because
my grandmother lives on Beloyal Street.
Okay.
So he went and stayed at her place by himself. I hoped he was there. I figured that's where he went. But he was mad because we were arguing afterward in our banter on the subway all the way home. And I just... You know, this because so now, again, so looking ahead, we're talking about Kasmir Kaskasiyo, right?
Nailed it.
That's who we're
as far
talking
as I
about.
Know.
But that could be that could be the person that stops the bleeding tomorrow late in Pittsburgh, of all people. The last person you ever expected. Like Jordan Binnington did for the St. Louis Blues. He is not being asked to come like a number one goaltender like Binnington was way back when. But can he give you, like Curtis McElhinney did against the Penguins that last weekend of the season, to clinch a playoff spot for the Maple Leafs a few years ago? I mean, can that be the guy? They need something like that. I mean,
no pressure, eh?
Well, no, actually there really isn't, because nobody's really expecting that, but that would be a neat way to have it happen. That's why, again, go back to Matthews tonight, man. He was a force. He was a force. He's playing great. His line was the best line on the ice till the chintzy goals went Marchand's way. You know, that was the best line on both teams. And as you mentioned, the momentum got killed by those goals against them. But, geez, I would have liked to see that line on 3-4 minutes more.
Oh, for sure. And I think you look at Boston, and again, this isn't a parade to celebrate the Boston Bruins or anything, but the professionalism of that top line, Patrice Bergeron, I don't know about you, it's night and day. And Toronto has some brilliant players. Tavares, incredible player. Like, for my money, he's the best, most important player on this team up front in terms of the intangibles he brings to the table. But you look at the top line, the perfection line, they can't be stopped. If you're watching this game or listening to this game saying, man, the Leafs never have an answer for that perfection line, this is a league-wide type of thing. Those guys are dominating the entire league. But the way they conduct themselves on a nightly basis, the professionalism, how sharp they are defensively, it just leads me to believe, and That, yeah, Austin Matthews is great. Yeah, Nylander's, you know, doing his thing out there, Marner. But there's a lot of room to grow for these players.
Yeah, and the last 2 years, the Leafs have played the Bruins well in the playoffs. Yeah. Again, to put in context, there have been, and it does seem to go exactly that way, like a no-brainer. When the perfection line's killing it, the Bruins won. Other times, the perfect, like, at some point, they were, you know, saying, Jesus, Bergeron hurt. Like, what's going on exactly?
Yeah.
And that's how well the Leafs were playing that line. But there's a consistency to it. And here we are again. These guys go to the Stanley Cup Final, Game 7, favorite team. And what a bitter disappointment. And what they decide is, next day is the first day of the rest of their lives. Let's get at it. And we're going to start the season and play every game.
Where's the hangover for St. Louis and Boston?
Yeah, no. That's funny because that's not a term that's been used for a long time, but it was.
People love to use that term,
though. It was way back when. And I don't know. It's convenient excuses in a way because there were years that went, but it's been a while. You're right.
Been pretty damn incredible. That scored Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation. Post-game, Leafs dropped their fourth in a row, 0-3-1, 4-2 to the Boston Bruins at Scotiabank Arena Hall of Fame night. Let's go now back to Scotiabank Arena and join Chris Johnston of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. Chris, what'd you think of this one tonight for the Maple Leafs?
You know, it's a tough one to break down because I thought they played pretty well, especially given the opponent and the way Boston has kind of taken up some rent-free space in their minds over the last few seasons. You know, I thought the Leafs had a lot to like. The Matthews line was dominant. We saw some good stretches from Tavares, Hyman, and Kapanen, especially that goal from Kapanen, in the third period to tie it up 2-2, despite them in the tough matchup against the perfection line. But you know, I think we're clearly at the point where the Leafs need to get some results. And so I think that it's tough to square those two thoughts away because she had another game where they gave up the first goal, even though I didn't think it was a poor start by any means, and another night where they're leaving with a loss, and that's been a far too common occurrence in the first 21 games.
Well, do you really think the Bruins are in their heads? Because we're debating that, where I think this would be the year maybe they are, where other years they hadn't been. The Leafs had actually played them pretty well in regular seasons 2 years ago for a couple of years, but man, all of a sudden, are we at that spot where the Bruins are just plain and simple in their heads?
Oh yeah. You know, I think they've been there all those years, to be honest. It's not to say that, you know, obviously the Leafs have beat them a couple times, but it just seems that the Bruins are always going to win the games that matter. And you know, even get into the third period tonight. And you know, I really thought the Leafs had carried a lot of the balance of play. You see Brad Marchand score 11 seconds in, they tie it up right after, and then Marchand scores again. I mean, it's just that same line, those same group of star players that Boston has have absolutely feasted on Toronto. I think they're confident. They're got the swagger that they've earned, these last few years. And I just think that they until Toronto does something to knock them off balance, that they have a certain mental edge in these games. Because as I say, I didn't see a lot of actual edge on the ice. It's just. They found a way to get another play to get the big goals that the Leafs couldn't manage. And, you know, Toronto played from behind most of the night.
Yeah, personally, I think it's a Zdeno Chara. Once he retires in about 15 years, it's going to be a great sledding for the Maple Leafs. With Chris Johnston, the lulls in play have been very evident, you know, throughout this season and a big reason why the Maple Leafs continue to lose games. Because for the most part, I agree with your analysis. I mean, they had strong, strong moments again in this one. Have they been able in that room or Mike Babcock as well, been able to explain that mystery?
Not really. You know, they were a pretty shell-shocked group tonight, you know, the guys that spoke. You really get the sense that it's not their words that matter, but the way they're speaking them, you can tell that this has taken a toll. I mean, understandably so. They're under some heat here. There's been a lot of tough talk, I think, the last few days. And, you know, then they lose their fourth game in a row. You know, I think that the expectations the fans have had and that media people like ourselves have had for them, you know, they shared them this season. And yet there's, you know, it's 9 wins in 21 games to start the year. And you know, you look at that two ways. Obviously, there's still tons of time. There's a huge amount of runway here for them to get things on track and have this just seem like a blip that we all forget by the end of the year. But you know, it also feels to be, you know, at times just you know, getting under their control. And I think where you have some concern is that it's been a lot of the top players that have been victimized. I mean, part of that's because they play the other team's top players, but you know, I think of Morgan Rielly giving up, you know, a fair bit of space in the Leafs zone there, right at the start of the third period, allowing Marchand to come at him with speed and obviously, you know, dances by him and gets his own rebound and scores the go-ahead goal in that spot. You know, you look at Long Island, it was some of their top guys that committed the turnovers that you know, were the back-breaking goals in that game. And so, you know, I think that is at least some worry. And, you know, this team's being tested. I'm not in the prediction business here. You know, I think that if you look at the last three losses, you know, 57 shots in Chicago, the way they dominated about 31 of the first 40 minutes in Long Island, you know, some of the things they did tonight. I mean, Austin Matthews had 10 shot attempts at the second intermission, you know, scored that goal on the shot that's going 5 feet wide that he deflects in. I mean, there's so much good happening, but it's a few small critical errors that have made the difference. And, you know, they got to find a way to get this on track, especially with the road schedule that's coming up, six straight games away from home.
Well, maybe that's a good thing because the natives are getting restless. And I did put in context, Chris, when we're chatting with Nick about, hey, St. Louis Blues are an excellent example, dead last on January 3rd. But the key thing is remedying whatever's not going right. And that'll be the challenge for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Then all of a sudden you get Mitch Marner last week. So, you know, fill in about Alexander Kerfoot, what indefinite means. And then Trevor Moore tonight playing less than 2 minutes, if there was any update on him.
No update really on either, to be honest. I mean, indefinite, it's pretty open to interpretation. It's not clear. It's not a clearly defined time frame. I mean, part of that might be the nature of the dental surgery he had. You know, you would think in general, though, dental surgery isn't a long-term injury. Obviously, there might be some issues of what he can eat and weight loss and those types of things. But, you know, they haven't said. And you know, I got no update for you on the extent of Moore's shoulder injury. And there's a whole range of possibilities there. You know, I do think, though, that the one thing the Leafs have done a much better job of this year is preparing themselves for this kind of, you know, inevitability or possibility. I think that they have a lot more depth down the lineup. I actually thought Jason Spezza, for example, had a pretty good night tonight, and that was his second game in 13 days. You know, they even have some other options with the Toronto Marlies if they end up wanting to make call-ups there. And so, you know, Marner is one thing, but when we talk about some of these other players, I do think the Leafs have a lot more forward depth than most teams would in this case. You know, and you know, just look at some of the guys Boston are dressing down their lineup. They've had injuries. Pittsburgh, you're going to need a lineup card tomorrow night when you see the Leafs play the Penguins. You know, when the bottom six is out there, there's a lot of players that only the hardest core NHL fans are familiar with. And so I do think that Toronto should be able to withstand this, whatever those injuries end up being. And you need the horses dragging you along. And you know, we saw it tonight. As I said, I thought Matthews had a strong game. You know, Hyman wins a battle, and, you know, Tavares finds Kapanen on the second goal. I mean, if the power play can get going, that would be a huge boost. But the margins are pretty small right now. They're not being hammered out of the rink. The underlying stats are good. You know, I think this team has to just bear down and execute a little better and find a way to get some wins.
Very well said. Once again, lots of hockey still to be played. Have fun in Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow night. Thanks so much for this, Chris.
Always do. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. That's Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. I often, maybe chuckle's not the right word, but you always talk and reference the home building, Scotiabank Arena, as a house of pain. We want it to be that. 6-3-4. Would that
be? It has
been
a house of pain. Not what I mean, though.
For the fans.
Yeah. Well, the other part is, like, you know, the Larry Murphy thing way back when, and I think you remember, I don't know what age-wise where you're at.
He was hockey player, right?
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that was a season sort of when the Leafs went on the downward slide, there'd been some success, and all of a sudden, you know, people turn on somebody, and later on, Brian McCabe to a degree, and a little bit with Jake Gardner snippets, you know, and I was like...
A little bit with Gardner.
Well, no, when the fans actually booed, you know what I just mean? Like when the fans actually
they
at
just
the arena,
lost it, yeah.
You know, and then they were good after. And I'm a big Jake Gardner fan. I think he's playing the right role he's doing in Carolina now. But that's the part. And you saw Kyle Dubas yesterday doing a little bit of damage control about, you know, Cody Ceci and Tyson Barrie, because some fans unfairly just kind of go, okay, new guy, we're having problems, I don't like him.
It's easy to pinpoint, right?
Yeah.
You see 5 points in 21 games, Tyson Barrie, oh, he's stinking up the joint. It's not necessarily right. I think the one thing to keep in mind as we hit the break, you look at guys like Muzzin and Barrie, LA and Denver respectively are not Toronto, right? I think we neglect to humanize the situation sometimes. It takes a while, I think, to adapt to this market. Right.
Well, there's so much excitement when Jake Muzzin's playing well. That's why I'll use him. When he came over the trade last year, everyone assumed this is great and he can play the other side. And they came, no, I don't play the other side. But like, what other city's talking about what side the guy plays to that degree? Somebody else on the other team.
All right, we're just getting cooking here. The Maple Leafs lose to the Bruins. Never said that before. 4-2 the final here at Scotiabank Arena. Now 9-8-4 on the season. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter. The Maple Leafs fall 4-2 to the Boston Bruins on home ice. Winless in 4, 0-3-1 in that stretch. Now 0-3, by the way, without Mitch Marner. And Gordon neglected to mention the next 6 in a row away from Scotiabank Arena, which I think in turn could be a good thing for this team, no?
Absolutely. No, I just said the natives are restless. This is a team last year.
Get away from the booze.
Third best on the road. They haven't been this year. And, Kasper Kaskasiu gets the start tomorrow.
You're nailing that, by the way.
Tonight, it's Mackenzie Blackwood played awesome for the Devils. Beat Penguins 2-1. We'll get out-of-town scores later, but because the Leafs play Penguins tomorrow night, I mean, it was a solid goaltending game by the Devils goaltender. That's what they're going to need tomorrow, and that'll help them for as many of the 6 games. Like, if the backup goaltender can give you a decent game, which you unfortunately hadn't got from Michael Hutchinson, at least that's a positive to build off of.
It's a damn shame we can't use the back-to-back as a narrative tomorrow night, because Pittsburgh played tonight as well, as you mentioned. Tristan Jarry expected to go in that one against Kasimir Kaskasiu.
And no Sidney Crosby, man. You want a team ravaged by injuries? Seriously?
Although they just showed the numbers for the Pittsburgh Penguins without Crosby. It's pretty, they're like 94-57 or something.
Well, I know, that's the whole point. That's what they've done. Malkin's always raised his game to another level when Sidney Crosby's been out.
You're right. So the Maple Leafs fall 4-2 here to the Boston Bruins. It's here now from the head coach of Toronto, Mike Babcock.
How do you break it all down to get on the other side of
the control? Yeah, for sure. I mean, I thought we were doing lots of good things, and saying that, off a face-off there, we weren't really gapped up. We were still in a good spot inside. They shot in our net. And, I didn't think we were as good as in the third as we had been the rest of the game. Yeah, now, they got ahead, and they played right and made it hard on us. But I thought we played well. I thought it was a good hockey game. We had lots of good players up front. Carried plays at times. They carried play at times. They got good players, but we're coming up short. And so you can say that after the game. You go through stretches of last game. You thought we were really good at times, had the puck a lot, but you leave frustrated or disappointed, I guess is a better word. You don't like leaving the rink not with 2 points. So it's a matter of pulling together and digging in. We got to find a way just to make ourselves a step better and get ourselves a win so we can get back on track.
Kind of totally taking having to play from behind so much, looking up the first
goals. Well, I think that is, but I think the game was, it was an even game. It's not like you came out and they shot it in your net or anything like that. You're playing well. Little things happen. When you look at it, though, because we went through it yesterday, now we're 5-16. That's a ton of behind. The team that scores first in the league is winning at a 7-14 winning percentage. We did a little work on this. So anyway, like, we've been through it and talked about it. We know the level of urgency and playing right and doing things right. But it didn't happen for us tonight. And I didn't think we started poor or anything like that. And I didn't think we started poor in the island either. But that doesn't matter. You need to score first and feel good. And the league shows you, catch up hockey, you don't win. Well, it looks like he's not coming on the trip tomorrow. And then so we'll put Timo in, then we'll figure out our lineup and get our lines organized the best way we can to give ourselves a chance. We're fortunate Pitt played tonight, and so level playing field, just like our last time we played in Chicago.
Is it a serious thing with Trevor?
Well, we're going to find... I don't want to ask.
Because you're doing some good things, but it seems, Johnson, the other night, you make one mistake, it ends up in your net, you not get the results. Do you sense some tightness in the group?
Well, I think you're obviously way looser when it goes great. That's how life is. But life isn't always about that. So pull together, dig in, and do things right. And we're going to get up, and the sun's going to get up, and we're going to get after tomorrow. And I have no question in the group that we believe in one another and that we'll get it looked after.
Would you like to go captain this game tonight?
Well, Like that, I mean, they're playing against good players, obviously. That's a good test for everybody. I thought Cappy's played well the last two games. I think that Lions played well. Now, I mean, either team that got trapped in their zone with either one of those lines on it was heavy going out there. But I thought Cappy's done a good job for those guys. Hyman gets the puck in there. He grinds, works. Cap scored a big goal. Tavares made a nice play. But I thought he did a lot of good things without the puck and played with speed and pace.
Hyman's been where you thought he would be, Mike, or even better.
I didn't know after an injury like that, you've seen our other guys come back. It's a struggle. And, you know, he's just that kind of guy, just working, working, working. Now, this will be a test for him right here in a back-to-back when you haven't played any hockey. But in saying all that, you know, normally he's our best guy back-to-back just because of his conditioning and his drivetrain. So we'll see what he's doing, but I like what he's doing. Yes, for sure. He gets his first NHL start. What an opportunity. You know, I imagine he dreamt of this his whole life. We had to do a good job early, but you hope he gets some shots early too and settles in and plays the way he possibly can. And we got to look after him.
So there you have it. Kazimier Kaskasiuo, because I know some of the natives driving home right now do not agree with your pronunciations. I think they're bang on, but Kazimier Kaskasiuo.
Yeah, well, there's other stations they can listen to as well.
I love the shade from Gord Selick.
That's it.
Babcock also had to get in his thoughts on Zach Hyman. He loved his play tonight.
Boy, I've loved his play the couple of games too.
Come on. He's been Zach Hyman. I think the expectation as a coach, your players are supposed to play like themselves, no?
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's played. So it's an easy question to ask. You tee it up. And who couldn't like the play from Zach Hyman the two games he's been back? But he brought up the stat because he brings up those stats. He had that one again about, what was it, 28% on back-to-backs when the other team was tired. He did acknowledge this team won't be tired. Pittsburgh played tonight as well. But so Leafs have not scored the first goal in 16 of 22 games.
Yep.
And he said 714, which is the number of home runs Babe Ruth hit, is the winning percentage of the team that scores the first goal. So right away, by what the Leafs do in 16 of the 22 games, they're getting less than a 30% chance to win after the first goal of the game scored.
We got to bring up your number tomorrow as well. I do follow it. We got to bring up your number tomorrow about back-to-backs, right?
Yeah. 28%. Yeah, we'll figure
it out.
It
was 29 last week.
28, 29, 28 and a half, whatever.
Anyways, that should be fun because Pittsburgh is not going to be happy after they lost to New Jersey, who loses to everybody in the NHL. But I guess we'll see what happens on Saturday.
But no, great goaltending by Mackenzie Blackwood.
Yeah.
I mean, they got outshot. They were outshot almost by a 2-1 margin. We're the Devils. And Kazimier Kaskasiuo, number 50. The Jonas Gustafsson number, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a hex in my world, but hopefully not for the Finn, whose name we said a billion times here. Let's hear now from the captain, John Tavares.
Sounds difficult. Having gone through four losses, do you get a sense that maybe, just maybe, this team is starting to come back a bit, given how well you've played? And if, again, it comes back to just eliminating certain errors to stay in a game?
Yeah, we're just on the wrong side of it in a game like tonight. And you know, I think the one thing that I think would be good for us is obviously try to get ahead and not have to play from behind. I think we've done that probably a little bit more than we would like to. And been saying that, I think, you know, pretty good hockey game. We made a couple mistakes that obviously hurt us. And you know, unfortunately, we weren't able to get it back.
What elements of this game do you want the team to carry forward now as you head out on the road?
Well, I liked the way we... we were forechecking. We were getting the puck in and getting on top of them, causing some turnovers, and then sustaining some good offense and good puck possession, and being hard to defend. They defend the middle of the ice extremely well, so you got to continue to find ways to get inside, mix up their coverage, and find second and third opportunities. But that was a real positive for us, I think, the way we got up through the neutral zone and got the puck in on them.
Where did things break down on that goal early in the third period, John?
I have to see it again, but first I got to win my face off. It's not good enough to, you know, lose it the way I did. And then from that point, we obviously have to know our assignments and be ready, especially for that line. They really try to be very creative off a lot of face-offs. We know that. We talk about that. So, and then when they do get an opportunity, we just got to box out well and make sure they don't get any second or third looks.
What do you like about what Kaplan brings to your line?
Well, his speed, his dynamic ability, and then, you know, he's got a good knack for the net to make him plays.
Has Zach been probably what you expected in his first two games, John?
He's been great. Really the reason why we got that goal to tied it up. Just great on the forecheck, hound on the puck. So good defensively and just, you know, always puts pressure on the opponent and then does good things around the net in the corners, getting pucks to me and Cappy. So, yeah, he's picked up right where he left off, and he's obviously great to have back.
I wouldn't suggest that road games are any easier, but what can you guys accomplish here getting out of the circuit for next little stretch here, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be good for us, but we got to continue to hunker down, and we got to obviously get some results and be on the right side of it. So, you know, I think certainly getting on the road and getting the team together with the way the schedule's kind of been for us, I think this will be a real positive and a real great opportunity.
It's a sense of urgency here right now, John. I mean, nine wins in 21 games.
Yeah, there's huge sense of urgency. I think, like I said this morning, and obviously we didn't get the result tonight. We're not where we want to be. The positive is we got another great opportunity tomorrow, and we got a lot of hockey left to play. So it's not going to just change overnight. We got to continue to put the work in and fix our mistakes and continue to find ways to be better and stay with it, because it's going to be hard. So, you know, we'll have plenty of games to have our opportunities to get to where we want to get to.
Joe, I don't often see you show emotion like you did there at the end. Can that be used as a motivator?
Well, I mean, it's not something I personally really want to do, but you know, I think we're just not in the right side of the result we want to be at, and some emotion came out. So for the most part, I just try to focus on playing and worry about the next opportunity. Just kind of happened, and just try to be better for next game.
All right, there's Captain John Tavares. He gets an assist in this game. Played 18-14 somehow, even with Trevor Moore injured. Don't get that. Minus one in this game. How soon till we get a closed-door meeting? We haven't had one of those in Toronto in a while.
Well, I think we had a little bit in the sense that they canceled practice again and did a meeting, did all those kinds of things.
A video sesh.
The best one ever was Matt Sundin all those years ago, and they went on one about 20 in a row. But on the road will be good. On the road will be good in a sense, you know, about that you can have meetings without having meetings because you're just able to get away, and it's, you know, just a different environment that way, maybe more relaxed. And the old, if the season ended today, Nick, the Leafs technically would be out of the playoffs. And that's the first time we could have said that all this season, because they're tied for the Penguins in points for the eighth and final, the last wild card spot. But the Penguins have two games in hand, so they're listed ahead of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So literally, and again, everyone's crunched together. It's teams of 23, 21, parody. You name it. But it literally tomorrow is a four-pointer for a playoff spot. The Toronto Maple Leafs could supplant Pittsburgh, or Pittsburgh could fall out of the playoffs at the hands of the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow. So, you know, you're just kind of getting there. And, you know, Tampa Bay is now making a push. They're still technically out of the playoffs, but you want to get there. You don't want to fall too far back. You don't want to repeat the St. Louis Blue miracle again. You know, it doesn't always happen back-to-back years.
Yeah, last time I checked, there's no Jordan Binnington waiting in the wings in the AHL. And again, that
Casimir Cascasio, he is.
You didn't hit it that time, but it's just, again, there's a reason why St. Louis, you know, pulled off a feat we haven't seen in quite some time. So I don't know, you want to bank
on that. But
that
was the one reason. Yeah. No, that was, but also it beget other things, sloppy play, you name it. And that's a part of it. So the Leafs have a number of things, but if you get, you know, you start clamping all those things, then all of a sudden, when you got skilled players, you turn it around, you're kicking ass again.
The pressure is mounting, and you're totally right. And among the players right now feeling it is Morgan Rielly. Minus two in this game, logged a lot of minutes, 24-49. Let's hear what he had to say about this 4-2 loss against Boston.
Two very well-played periods. What's the impact, obviously, with that goal 11 seconds in? And how did things go from there?
I mean, it is what it is. You just bounce back. I thought we played well for the most part. You know, when something like that happens, you just you know, regroup and start playing again. I thought we did a good job of that, actually, but obviously not the result we were looking for.
What do you see on the early goal there in the third, Morgan?
It just ends up in our net. I don't know what you want me to say.
What's the level of frustration right now? Obviously, it felt like a good overall effort, but you don't get the result.
I mean, yeah, it's obviously frustrating a little bit, but I think you have to take the positives away. I think that there were periods of the game where we played really well, but obviously, at the end of the day, you want results, and you know, when you don't get them, you can be frustrated, and you know, you try to take the positives out, and you know, we've got a game tomorrow night, then we go on the road for a week, so you know, we've got things to focus on moving forward.
Well, what did you like about tonight's game that you can build upon?
Well, I thought we managed the puck well. You know, we were patient for the most part. You know, I thought we played well offensively. When we had the puck down there, we kind of held on to it. We didn't give it away. You know, we actually broke out pretty well too. So I think when you look at the game, there are positives. But I mean, like I said, at the end of the day, you want results and you want to win games.
what ways have you seen Austin elevate here of late?
Yeah, he's been outstanding. He's a great player. You know, that's kind of what you come to expect from him when you play with him for a couple of years.
There's Morgan Riley. We talk about pressure mounting. He definitely seemed down in spirits, and that sort of has been a theme with this team the last couple games.
Yeah, but, you know, stand-up guy to come out and talk all the time. But I do, if you listen to it, and again, we're not down there. So if we're down there, it's different. So I hesitate to criticize the questioners, but just there just seems to be a lot more now. We break everything down, the minutiae and everything. And so at first his reaction of what you see on the third goal. Well, you know, you think about it that, okay, maybe it's a good question in a way, but like he kind of said, what do you want me to say? Like, is he supposed to break it down and relive the horrible memory of what exactly happened? I mean, he just misplayed it. He and Cody Ceci backed up too much. Freddie Anderson should have the rebound. So what's the point in reinforcing negatives all the time? So it's a bit of a, for him, flippant answer. But, you know, I kind of, you know, hey, I don't need to go there. Let's talk more generally.
It's obvious.
The one about some positives at the end he comes up with, because you do have to build off positives, especially when you get in that dressing room and look at it and build off those and try to plug up the negatives.
Yeah, I think even in 2019, the "my contract stinks" comments are few and far between in the media, a la Roberto Luongo a couple years ago.
They are. And the other part is when you lose, you start becoming the Dion Phaneuf droning voice, right?
It's true.
And
it's
Dion Phaneuf got victimized because you associated that Leaf loss. He's the captain. He comes out. And that voice drones on. I like Dion. I think Dion's a stand-up guy. I really do. But it just, that's what you associate it with. So right now, you're in a mold there. So in some ways, I like Morgan Riley. Just kind of go, what do you want me to say? Like, what do you want me to say?
I have the perfect remedy for it. How about a win in Pittsburgh on Saturday night? We'll cover that up. Coming up, we'll look at the four other games in the NHL on this Friday. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Time for a little hockey talkie. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right. Time to put a final bow on this 4-2 loss for the Maple Leafs on home ice against the dreaded rival Boston Bruins, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. Four other games on this Hall of Fame Friday in the NHL. We'll start in Canada. The Senators continue to win, Gord. Anders Nielsen, 26 saves, a 2-1 win against the Philadelphia Flyers. And surprisingly enough, this game did not need a shootout because the Flyers are always seemingly playing in the shootout. But Tyler Pitlick, his first goal of the year. Tyler Ennis, former Bud, his fourth, and Philip Schlappick, the eventual game winner at 17:09 in the second period. So Ottawa wins that game 2-1, the final against the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, no, is my mic working?
I don't know.
Sounds good.
What's going on over there?
I don't know. Okay. Is it working?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay. I just can't hear. Okay, so anyway, the point being is, it says mic on. Sorry, we're not supposed to share things like that, but I want to make sure people could hear us. The Ottawa Senators, yeah, they are on a bit of a tear of late. Philadelphia Flyers, a whack of shootouts of late, so that ends. Good on Ottawa for, you know, DJ Smith and all those ex-Maple Leafs making a go of it.
Zach Werenski, the OT winner, his sixth of the year. Meantime, Montreal 5-2 win. Tomas Tatar, goal and three assists there.
Deneau gets 3 points. Weber gets a goal and assist. They get, what, 4 goals in the first half of the first period. All kinds of Montreal Canadian fans. You know, that's great coaching. That's great coaching.
It is.
He's really got the team playing a great style.
And last but not least, tomorrow night's opponent, Pittsburgh, falling 2-1 in New Jersey, and that's where we'll talk next. 6:30 Eastern Time, Leafs Nation pregame on Saturday night, Toronto into Pittsburgh. We'll talk then, Gord.
We'll talk. We'll talk a lot. We'll talk a lot about what's going on in hockey night in Canada as well. We'll let everybody know. It's going to be an interesting night on the radio, TV broadcast, and the games.
Take care, everybody.